Well, a couple of weeks ago, Martin asked me if I would speak on hearing God, and which includes hearing God through the Holy Spirit. So I said yes. And since then, I've been looking at the subject of how we hear from God. And I've also been praying and asking the Holy Spirit to give me a message, because that's one of the things that we read of in the New Testament. Those of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit can ask the Lord for a message. And there should be loads of messages from the Holy Spirit flowing through all of us. And I'm glad to say that as I go through this, the Holy Spirit did give me a message in quite an unusual way. So praise the Lord for that. So when I started looking through some of the biblical examples of how the Lord has spoken to people through history, there were quite a few unusual examples and some very regular ones as well. So, for example, if we look through the Bible, Abraham, you remember Abraham? In Genesis 12 to 25, he had visions, dreams, and an angelic visitation. Moses, do you remember? The Lord spoke to him through a burning bush. As he was walking along, he saw a bush burning that wasn't consumed by the flames. And he thought, that's unusual. So he stopped, turned aside, and as he looked, so the Lord spoke to him. Samuel, when he was a boy, do you remember he was serving in the temple? And the Lord called to him audibly. And he actually thought it was Eli, who was the priest at the time. And in the end, Eli, on the third occasion, said to him, if you hear again, say, Lord, speak, for your servant listens. And that was then when the Lord spoke to him audibly. So that was Samuel. Daniel, he had more dreams, more visions. Dreams and visions are actually quite a common way in which the Lord speaks to people. He also saw a handwriting, a message on a wall, which is obviously very unusual. Mary, she had a visit from an angel who gave her the message from the Lord. Her husband, or eventually became her husband, Joseph, he had an angelic visitation, but his was actually in a dream, slightly different. Apostle Paul, do you remember on the road to Damascus, suddenly there was this really, really bright light and he heard Jesus' voice. Later on, we had Peter in the New Testament who had a vision of the blanket coming down, which had the unclean things on it, and he was instructed to eat. And that was to tell him basically to go to the Gentiles, which he would have otherwise never have done. So there's a whole variety of ways in which the Lord can speak to us. Now, I've got a... In terms of angelic visitations, we tend not to hear so much of those these days. But I've got one example from actually when I was a child. Didn't happen to me. The church, the fellowship I was in at the time, a family joined. And the child, their son, who was about 8 or 9, every night he'd wake up with night terrors. They lived quite near a river. And every night he'd wake up and he would say that something was coming up from the river and into his room at night. So it was actually my mother and father. My mother decided that she was going to go and pray around this house. So she didn't tell the couple. In fact, she didn't even tell my father. But what she did was to volunteer to go and babysit. So she went there to babysit. My mother went around each room and prayed in them and didn't tell the couple. The next day, the couple ring up and they said, last night, our son had a really good sleep. He woke in the middle of the night and stood at the bottom of his bed was an angel. And as a result, when he woke up that morning, he gave his life to Jesus, even though he's only 8 or 9. So that was an angel that was sent to actually protect this boy from what was obviously something, you know, evil that was going on at the time. So angelic visitations aren't over, you know, they still happen today. And there have been other examples as well I've heard over the years, but that specific one was much closer. Also, the Lord can speak to us through nature, creation, and everyday objects. So, for example, if we look in, we get quite a few of those examples in our fellowship. Biblically, there's a good case in Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to 10. And the Lord speaks to Jeremiah and says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do this with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." So the Lord used this potter and what he was doing to deliver a clear message to Jeremiah to pass on to the whole children of Israel. Now, as I say, the Lord gave me a message as well this week, which came through I wasn't looking at a potter, but I've been asking the Lord for a message. And suddenly I decided I was going to go and play golf. Now, I'm not a golfing fanatic. I haven't played since last October, and I'm not very good. And you might say, well, can any good thing come out of golf? I'd be with you on that one. But I really felt compelled to go. I don't know why. It's strange. I thought the Lord might want me to talk to someone when I got there. But anyway, I go off. It was freezing cold. Everything was frozen. So I played this really nice yellow, bright yellow ball. Good brand. Nice ball. So I'm playing with it. Inevitably, after on the fourth hole, I lose it. It disappears down the bank of this stream. Can't find it. And I'm like, that's sad. You know, that was a good ball. So I get out another yellow one, but this is a bit shabby. This is not very good, but I don't mind playing this one because if I lose it, there's no regrets at all. So I carry on round, and a couple of holes later, walking past this like thorny bush, and in there is a yellow ball grinning at me. So I thought, oh, so I get the old club out, tap it out of this bush, pick it up. And it's exactly the same brand, quality ball that I'd lost two holes ago and in pristine condition. I thought, fantastic. And it was then that the Lord gave me a message, which I believe is not only for me, but it's also for some other people here this morning. And what it was is if you've been in the kingdom of God for a while, and you had something years ago, whether it was an anointing, a blessing, a spiritual gift, a ministry, something that you knew the Lord had anointed you with, and you feel that you've lost it. For it could be a variety of reasons that you may have fell into disuse, you may have made a mistake, and you were so embarrassed or hurt by comments that you decided you weren't going to risk it anymore. Or might be other things just crept into your life, and so you stopped moving in that ministry, that anointing. Well, what the Lord has to say is that he has got a fresh anointing for you. It's something which is new. It's not regurgitating what you had in the past. This is something new for today and the journey ahead. And it is full of power because it's a new ministry, it's a new anointing, it's a new spiritual gift. The Lord has got a fresh provision for you, and he wants you to stop, bend down, and pick up this ministry that he's got for you. Now, what is appropriate as well was it was actually in, this is a kind of, not advice, not a warning, but it was in a bush that was thorny. And if you look in the scriptures at the parable of the sower, some of the seed that was God's word fell in amongst thorns. And if you read the problem that represents, which I think probably more than any time is something that we can be subject to today, it says, "Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." So if you want to accept and receive and move in this fresh anointing that the Lord has got, if there's anything in this life that would choke the word, such as the deceitfulness of wealth. Now, I know this might sound a surprise, but we are all wealthy However, you compare us to the people in the New Testament, we are all like the rich man when it comes to, you know, healthcare, housing, you name it. You go to the supermarket, all the food. Back in the New Testament, they didn't really have supermarkets where you could get strawberries all the year round. We are all wealthy, and sometimes that the deceitfulness of wealth can take us away from the Lord. And also the desire for other things. There's all sorts of desires for other things we can have in this world. The world is full of desires. And that can actually mean that we choke this anointing that the Lord can have for us. But the good news is if you are seeking and you would like to have a fresh anointing, the Lord is saying he's got it here ready for you. And it's for you to move into. And it's wonderful. So that was the message that I received specifically, and which, as I say, came out of an everyday object. Praise the Lord. Some of the other things as well, we can hear from the Lord in prayer. So when we pray, it's a two-way communication, and the Lord can speak to us by his Holy Spirit. When we pray, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge him as our God and give him thanks for what he's done. Now, as you all know, on Wednesdays, we're now doing the Lectio course, and we are learning once again on how to read the scriptures and receive from the Lord messages, encouragement, truth, healing, everything that the scripture has. Now, the reason why it can do that is because the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is God-breathed. What that tells us is that the scriptures themselves have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when we read them, that Holy Spirit can inspire us and show us truth and speak to us. The scriptures also prevent us from falling into error. It's probably more today can we hear what the world has to say through TV, news, social media. You know, Martin's on Twitter. I kind of go on there. All the time you're hearing everybody's opinion, but very rarely do you hear God's opinion. And we need to keep going back to the scriptures to know what God thinks and his worldview, and not be drawn into trying to appease the world and always appearing kind of warm and friendly and never ever standing up for any kind of truth. So the scriptures are very important for us hearing from God. Interestingly, Daniel, in the Old Testament, he was having visions and dreams, etc. One of the things he did was to actually go back to the scriptures that they had, which was obviously a lot smaller than we've got today. And he actually read what the Lord had received from, or what the Lord had told Jeremiah. So he tested what he'd been seeing and what he'd been hearing against what the Lord had already revealed through Jeremiah. And that's a really good check. If we hear something from the Lord, that we check it against scripture. Yeah, because God's truths are eternal, and it's important that we don't stray off with our own thoughts or aspirations. So that's many ways in which people can hear from God. Things changed quite dramatically in the New Testament. When Jesus died, rose again, then ascended into heaven, he promised us the Holy Spirit, a counsellor. Now, one of the interesting things which I discovered was that many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read of in the New Testament, Jesus himself demonstrated in the New Testament. And I know it sounds a bit crazy, being as old as I am, you'd have thought I'd have known that. But actually, it suddenly became really clear, and it's like, oh, that's fantastic. There's a whole tranche of examples. Because some of them, I must admit, I was never very clear what the difference was between a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. It's really, really easy when you actually see how Jesus moved in these gifts. Now, we know Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit because you remember when he was baptized in water, when he came up, the Spirit of the Lord descended on him like a dove. Now, that's not to say that he wasn't filled with necessarily before he was baptized. You know, some people have got doctrines on this. But what it does show, I think, is that the same Holy Spirit that rested on Jesus, we've got the same Holy Spirit. And that's where you start to see, well, what Jesus did by the Holy Spirit, so we can do by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit moves. Also, it tells us in the scriptures, Jesus himself said that when he, in John 14, verse 12, so this is before I get round to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this is to set the scene. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." And he said, "And I will ask," a bit, couple of verse later, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." And so we've got the same Holy Spirit, and Jesus promised it to us. Yeah, and he promised that the things he did, which were remarkable, we will be seeing in the age that we're in. And we know he wasn't just talking to the disciples at the time, because in Acts 2, verse 38 and 39, when Peter had just been baptized in the Spirit, and all the disciples, remember the flames descended on their heads? It says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So it's not just for the people who are listening, it's for their children, and that implies future generations. All who are far off. Peter probably didn't realise that included Gentiles at the time, because remember, a bit late, it was only a bit later on he realised that, that this message was for Gentiles as well. But he had obviously received it, even though he didn't understand it. "And for all whom the Lord our God will call." Well, I'm glad to say that we are the ones who are called. In fact, one of the titles, I believe, in Greek is we are the ecclesia, the called out ones. So we are all eligible for the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the expectation is that what Jesus did when he was here on earth, the Holy Spirit can do today through us. So if we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, starting in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, going up to verse 11. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." So the first thing about that is we are talking about manifestations of the Spirit. So this is nothing that's to do with our thinking. We don't kind of rationalize and think. This is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You know, unfortunately, we're all well trained in using our minds and our intelligence. We've all been through really good most of us have been through good educations. And as a result, we're pretty much often products of our education. But the Bible holds our natural thinking in quite low regard. And it tells us in Ephesians 4:17, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. So, this receiving a message from the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with thinking and rationalizing and being in, you know, being intelligent from a natural perspective. If we're going to use our minds, we have to use our renewed minds. It tells us in the scriptures we need to have the mind of Christ. That's a lot different. If we're moving with the mind of Christ, then what the Holy Spirit says and what our minds think are together. Yeah, they're synchronized. So the first thing is we need to have that Holy Spirit within us and rely on that to hear from God. We must also have the correct motive. We need to work and move in the love of God. Because Jesus, we all know about, well, hopefully we all know about the love of the Lord, the love that Jesus has for us. But we also need to have that love for one another. Because if we have that love for one another, then what we receive from the Holy Spirit and what we give actually will build people up and they will receive that. Now, the first one in that particular list of gifts of the Holy Spirit was message of wisdom. Now, if you recall in Matthew 22, when the Pharisees, their disciples, decided that they were going to try and trap Jesus with a question about whether they should be paying taxes to Caesar. I mean, it was a very clever move. But the message of wisdom that Jesus had, if you recall, and I'll read it out starting in verse 17. They said to Jesus, "Tell us, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they said. And he said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. So that was a word of wisdom that he received. I mean, that was a wise reply. I mean, a similar one, I guess, would be Solomon. Do you remember when he had to choose between the woman who claimed to be the mother of the child and the one who genuinely was? He had a wisdom that he'd asked God for and that he operated in. There's also wisdom in the way that Jesus dealt with people, whether it was the woman at the well or Peter after he'd fallen. Do you remember when they met, when they were fishing? And he restored Peter through asking him, "Do you love me?" You know, and he used different words for love. The way in which he gently restored him showed a wisdom rather than a harshness that, you know, sometimes if we don't use wisdom, we can end up, you know, hurting people or making unwise choices. So the next one was message of knowledge. Now, this helps to look at the difference between knowledge and wisdom. So, do you remember when Jesus was entering Jerusalem? He said to his disciples, "Go ahead to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back shortly.'" They went in, and they found the colt tied up. So, Jesus knew something that he wouldn't have otherwise known if he didn't have this gift of knowledge. The Lord spoke to him, God spoke to him and told him something which he wouldn't have otherwise known. Applies to things like someone's history. Do you remember the woman at the well? Jesus knew that she had had six husbands and the one that she was with at the moment wasn't her own. Again, that was knowledge that he had that wasn't naturally available because he didn't actually know her. Another one is the person who was brought to him who was blind. And the disciple said to him, "Rabbi, who sinned that this man would be blind, this man or his parents?" And Jesus says, "Neither, this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So again, Jesus had this knowledge of what the cause of this man's problem was. He couldn't have known that naturally. That was a divine knowledge that he had. And that's available to us when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and this gift is in operation within us. Next one was gift of faith. Jesus walked on the water. We had that one on Wednesday at Lectio. Peter, he had enough faith to follow Jesus. He also had enough faith to get out of the boat, but he didn't have quite enough faith to get there. And Jesus actually said that to him. You have little faith. Why did you doubt when he sank? One of the gifts is a gift of faith, that we can have faith in order. We can have authentic faith as well. We need authentic God-given faith. We can have faith that's needed to do God's will and to see miracles. Gifts of healing. Now, we know that the New Testament is full of Jesus' healing. So I shall read the summary passage. Matthew 4, 23 to 24. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. So those gifts of healing are available today through the gifts of the Holy Spirit and a gift of healing. Miraculous powers. Now, this is another peculiar one. You just think, miraculous powers, hang on, is that always healing or what? Well, like the one we had on Wednesday, Jesus calmed the storm. That is miraculous powers, power over nature. Do you remember when Jesus changed the water into wine at the wedding? That's miraculous powers, where it was water, then became fantastic wine. So those are miraculous powers. Gift of prophecy. Jesus prophesied his own death and resurrection. He spoke God's truth all the time. And often prophecy is us receiving God's instruction and his truth. Jesus also prophesied that we would receive the Holy Spirit after he descended into heaven, which is what we've received. So Jesus was also the fulfillment of prophecy. Distinguishing between spirits. As you know, as Jesus went around, he often delivered people from the oppression of demons and dark spiritual forces. And he also, do you remember when he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. So Jesus could also identify what was of God and what was of evil forces or of Satan. And so distinguishing between spirits is something we have through the Holy Spirit. And it's really important, because when the Holy Spirit starts to move among us, sometimes you can get some things which are not of the Holy Spirit. And in the past, sometimes people can recognize it and say, that's of the Lord and that isn't. But sometimes people get nervous, and what they do is they throw everything out because they're not sure. And so as a result, sometimes that can actually quench the moving of the Holy Spirit, because people can't distinguish between the right and the wrong, the Holy Spirit and, darkness. So it's important that we do have that, and we don't throw everything away if we start to recognise that some things that we're hearing aren't quite right. It's one thing when people make a mistake, we're in a loving family. If somebody makes a mistake, that's not a problem at all. It's when something darker comes in order to try and upset the work of God, that we need to have discernment. Different kind of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, Jesus didn't speak in other tongues that we know of. He might have done, but we don't. And I think that's probably because speaking in tongues and interpretation is much more a group thing. It's when we actually gather together. If someone speaks in tongues publicly, there needs to be an interpretation. So if you like, it is for a more of a group congregational setting than it is when Jesus was himself teaching. As you probably know, that there's different kinds of tongues. The disciples, when they were first baptized, they spoke in tongues, but in fact it was understood by different people as different languages. They actually understood. And I've heard of cases of where someone stood up and spoke in tongues, and somebody who was Swedish understood what they were saying, and this person had never been to Sweden. Sometimes it can be, people can understand it as a foreign language. Sometimes it's personal, is the very common one, is where you pray in tongues on your own, for your own edification, but also if you don't know what to pray. You know, if somebody's got a need and you're like, well, I don't know what to pray, you know, you can pray in tongues on that person's behalf and trust that the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf. And I say the other one is the one in a public setting. So can we have more than one gift? Yes, we can, actually, because back in verse 11, it doesn't say the Spirit distributes one each. It's to each one. So we can have different gifts of the Holy Spirit at different times. He does it as the Holy Spirit decides. We've already said, is the Holy Spirit for now? Yes, it's for all generations. And Jesus has already promised the Holy Spirit and that we would see greater things than when he was here on earth. So, in summary, there's lots of ways in which we can hear from our Heavenly Father through visions, dreams, angelic visitation, reading the scriptures, through prayer, and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we need to open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and ask the Lord to speak to us and then to listen. Okay? Thank you.